This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, today we'll start off by talking about dicamba, the word that's been consuming agriculture this summer. M&M Service Company recently held their Solutions at Work Field Day, and dicamba and Xtend soybeans were just one of many topics discussed. Regional sales agronomist for M&M, Mark Huber, caught up with me after the field day, and we talked about how spraying has gone for the co-op this summer.
I'm the regional sales agronomist for M&M Service Company. I cover eastern Macoupin, western Montgomery, and northern Madison counties.
The main topic I wanted to visit with you about today is something that is on the minds of all farmers and I think anyone involved in agriculture this growing season, and that is dicamba and the issues that have been seen with drift and spraying and all of those things. So I want to start off by talking with you about that. How are things going for M&M Service Company so far this growing season with spraying dicamba? Have there been issues, or, you know, how has it been so far?
So far for M&M Service Company, it's been a fairly positive experience. I'm not saying that we don't have no claims, because we do. We got a few claims in the industry, but overall, we were very proactive in the very front. We basically had a protocol set up to map out all the fields that surrounding that Xtend field that we're going to spray. So we contacted growers, whether they were doing business with us or not, and made sure that we knew what those were. We watched the wind direction of the day that we were spraying, as well as watching the wind direction from any kind of fronts or anything that was moving through the next few days. So with that, being that cautious about what we're doing, and we turned some fields down. We didn't spray some fields because there might have been such an issue as a sensitive crop or a sensitive area that we did not want to basically get in contact with. So, but overall, we had good experience with that. We actually, claim-wise, we have less than 500 acres on over 15,000 acres sprayed. So that's roughly about 3%. So we did a very good job, and we have 2-3% claims anyway, any other kind of product that we might be using.
Well, that's great to hear. Great that it's going so well. With anything new, we know there will be, I guess, some hiccups along the way, but it sounds like M&M's doing a great job of managing that. What that also tells me is that a lot of farmers tried out this new technology, because I think there was some hesitation in talking about the Xtend beans and dicamba, but you said over 15,000 acres had those beans planted.
Yeah, we actually had a lot more acres of Xtend planted than that. That's just the acres that we personally sprayed. There's a lot of farmers and other retailers that sprayed Xtend beans as well. But it's a new technology that we need to embrace. I mean, I know there's a lot of negative press out there at times about Xtend this summer, when some emotional decisions of some injury that they might have happened in some farmers' fields. But one day, if we don't have Xtend, then we're relying pretty much everything on Liberty, because we do have a little bit of PPO and Roundup tolerance or resistance out there. And if we rely on Liberty, eventually Liberty will be resistant over time, and then what are we going to have next? So the bottom line is, we need to extend these new technologies and understand that they need to be in our portfolio in order to be able to kill water hemp.
And I think something that has been brought up when I talk to agronomists and other businesses as well is read the label and follow it.
Yeah, reading the label is very important. There's setbacks, wind conditions, sensitive areas that need to be having withdrawal period to, or what we call a strip that needs to be left that's untreated in order to be able to protect those areas.
So on the acres that their drift has been seen, what is the next step? How is that being handled? Are we waiting till harvest, or you know, what's next?
Well, the first step is, depending on what product was used, the main company or manufacturer needs to be notified. We need to get those things documented, so that way we know that there is a claim there and things need to be taken care of. And then, depending on who the applicator was, that's the ultimate person that's responsible for the initial part of the claim. Those need to be turned to that person, individual farmer or retailer, and then most of those will be taken to yield. But like in past spraying, there is going to be areas that may have yield loss, but a lot of these things that we're seeing are being outgrown pretty quickly within 5 to 10 days, that those areas probably won't have any yield loss for all. We used to spray dicamba years ago in corn and had some drift issues and or volatility issue, and the bottom line is, a lot of those didn't even have any yield loss at all. In some cases, a little bit of yield gain, so you never know.
Well, that was, you mentioned kind of what I was thinking of asking you next, is have you dealt with issues similar to this in the past with new technology or new spraying technologies?
Yeah, we used to deal with it back when Roundup came back in 1996. We dealt with the new technology, the Roundup trait, and then we had conventional beans around. And there was areas where we had some contamination, that there was a few fields that might have been killed by Roundup spraying on conventional beans. And this one takes it to the nth degree a little bit more, because of the fact that you're dealing with volatility. Before, it was just spray drift, or you actually sprayed the wrong field. Now we're dealing with volatility a little bit, but things can be managed. We just need to be more careful, and we need to take things one at a time, and communication is the key.
Mark Huber, Regional Sales Agronomist for M&M Service Company, and we'll have more ag news after these messages. The Madison County Fair wrapped things up over the weekend, and Friday through Sunday were full of livestock shows. During my visit to the fairgrounds on Friday, I had a chance to talk to the 4-H Swine Show Grand Champion, Lane Renderer. Lane said it's his last summer showing pigs, and he was excited to earn the new title. Lane, how does it feel to be named Grand Champion?
It feels pretty good, especially when it's your last year and you've been doing it since you started 10 years ago.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. So 10 years in the show ring. How did you get started? Does your family have some background in showing, or just tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, my dad and his family had 70 sows when they grew up, and we just started showing at the county fair as a young kid, and then I kind of got interested in it and started showing national and state levels. And I've always showed at my county fair. I always thought it was a really good thing, and I really believe in the program and hope it keeps going. But it was really nice to win the last year.
Well, I remember talking to you at the state fair in Springfield last summer, so it's nice to see you here, I guess, at your home county fair. So where do you live and where'd you grow up?
I live in Highland, Illinois, about 5 minutes out of town there. That's where I grew up. I've been there since I was born, and I've always thought coming to the county fair was a good time. I like to support the hometown. It's always good to be in your home county.
Tell us a little bit about the pigs that you were showing today. What breed do you show, and just what classes were you in and that sort of thing?
We show all different breeds. I mean, from Berkshires, Chesters, on down the lines with Duroc's. But today I showed a Spot Barrow and a Duroc Barrow, and my little brother showed a couple crossbred barrows, so it was good. And the champion was the Duroc Barrow.
Awesome. So what are your future plans? This is your last year showing, so that's going to be leading you on to some new things. Are you starting college in the fall, or what's next in your life?
Yeah, I'm actually be a sophomore in college there at Lakeland Community College in Mattoon this fall. I'm on the livestock judging team, and I'm going to major in ag business. So once I get done there, I'm going to go to Western and compete on the livestock judging team and master in ag business, and then come home and take over the farm.
Lane Renderer of Highland, your 2017 Madison County Fair 4-H Swine Show Grand Champion. In other news, the U.S. Grains Council summer meeting is getting underway this week in Vancouver, Washington. The meeting starts today and lasts through August 2nd and includes the U.S. Grains Council 57th Annual Board of Delegates meeting. More than 300 Grains Council members, delegates, and guests are taking part in the meeting, and the schedule will offer deep dives into emerging ethanol opportunities, China's growing influence in global trade, and the U.S. approach to trade policy negotiations, including the coming modernization of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Advisory teams for the U.S. Grains Council are also meeting to track progress towards the implementation of the 2017 Unified Export Strategy. And if you'd like more information about the meeting, you can visit grains.org. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.